JC.
Gary, KG4LSL.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing today?
And sitting here drying so they can be ready to have the eyes put on them and dipped in clear coat. And, went to the doctor this morning. And see ya. Been a productive day today.
Just warmed up a little bit today. And it was cold a couple mornings earlier in the week. I should say last week. Yeah, not been terribly productive today, but not unproductive. But I got out and ran a few errands, got some stuff done and need to do, so I guess that's about as productive as I can get. What all you got hanging drying at? What size are they?
A half ounce, 4-inch square bill, and I've got a little quarter ounce, half ounce, lipless crankbait, and it's a small-bodied crankbait. It's kind of weird, first ones I've ever seen. They've got holes in the sides of them that go all the way through for to kind of make some bubbles in the water to entice the fish a little bit more. That's what I've got drying that I did today. I've also done a couple of other square bills and some different colors and just basically playing around with some techniques. Hopefully this weekend I may go to Hobby Lobby, God help me, and peruse around and see what other stencils and stuff that I can use.
The holes inside, I haven't seen that on a modern day bait. I know the old head and Sonics, which were, you know, kind of a solid blade bait. Old Grizz Gresham used to run those when he was fishing for smallmouth. They were lipless crankbaits like that too, and they vibrate like the kind of like the spots and that sort of thing, Cordell spots and that sort of. But they were just the thin blade and had a little bit of on the top of them, and they had to reel them real fast. They cast a mile. I think they might have been a quarter ounce, but they were pretty small. And if I remember correctly, they had holes along the bottom. Bottom part of the bait towards the tail, all the way through. But I think they call them head and sonic. I may be wrong. It may be the wrong name for that bait.
Got the idea what these are called. I actually got them for Christmas last year, and then got a whole nother big pack of them for Christmas this year. So figured I'd put them to use, and getting some pretty good reactions out of them. Can't wait to spring and get them in the water and see what they do. I did just fill my first order for a popper and a I think it was a lipless that he got. So I've got to send them out to Houston in the next day or so and get ready to start some more orders.
And hopefully they'll work out well. And there's a lot of people are doing that now. That seems to be a popular part of the sport. I know the Japanese, and I probably said the Japanese, they do hand carve. I say they hand carve. I don't know whether they are or not, though, Jimmy. They may be machine carved wooden baits, and they paint them, and those things are, they sell those for, you know, they have a, they fish for trout a lot in Japan. They fish out of these, call them area trout ponds. It is basically just a pond carved out in the ground. They put stocky big trout in them, and they all catch and release type of thing. And they get real serious about that. So they use a real fine braided lines and some of the other stuff, some of the super lines. I've seen some huge fish they've caught, but they're, you have to kind of think, and they're not, you know, they see a lot of stuff pulled in front of them, and I think these guys just do it do something like that. They're not spending money on fishing tackle.
No, they don't. Yeah, I'm not sure if they would be hand-carved or if they would just be hand-painted. With the technology of the CNC lathes and machines and what have you that we have now, you know, I would almost rather have one of those than hand-carved, just because you're able to duplicate it very easily. That way, if you lose one, you can pick up another one, and it, you know, basically will swim pretty close to the same, not entirely the same, because, well, you know, different densities of the woods and what have you.
They're hand painted. I know they've got the foil on them, and you know the sides, and there's some pretty interesting color combinations compared to what we would use here. They have some of these, their mountain streams. They have actually they have several species of, I don't know if any of them are actual trout or whether they're all char, but there's a species of char that they fish for, like brook trout here. And they're not very big at all. They're maybe, excuse me, they're maybe 10 inches long or something like that. But, you know, they have certain areas they can fish those.
I tell you, trout is probably one of my favorite fish to cook and eat. They are very sweet, and I'm going to try and find some places up here in the upstate to go and do some trout fishing eventually, one of these days, maybe. Having a lot of fun learning Hartwell as it is. I do plan on visiting Kiwi and Jocassee a little bit this year as well. See what happens there.
Some good spots. We got about 400 miles of streams up in the northern part of the state. And a lot of them are, you know, not very wide. You don't really need much to fish them. And some of them get a lot of pressure because they're stocked. But the ones that aren't stocked, that are wild streams, they don't get much pressure at all because they're hard to get to, and fish are generally small, but they're all wild. Yeah, they don't stock those fish. They don't stock those streams at all. They're all natural reproducing streams. They've got a few of them where they shocked and killed all the browns and rainbows, just put brook trout in them and got barriers so the rainbows and browns can't get back in those streams. But like I said, they're very small. And they're usually above 2,500 feet, and they aren't really, well, one is pretty easy to get to, but it's hard to fish it because it's so overgrown, and they left it that way on purpose. But those fish are generally, you know, 6-8 inches. 8 inches is a big fish in those streams. Most times they're 5 or 6 inches, but it's, you know, at least unless they changed the last couple of years, you know, it's all, you know, not catch and release. You know, you can fish them. Some of them require, some of them are catch and release, but a lot of the streams are, you can keep them. And Dan Rankin, the guy, I don't know where he's still a trout guy for the state or not, he told me, he said, yeah, take some fish out of it. He said, all they do is they'll get studded because there's just not enough food, and that supports the number of fish. You should take them. Take a big one out every once in a while. Says you're not gonna hurt it at all.
Yeah, they used to stock the Chattahoochee up quite a bit, and you know, they would stay small. Really couldn't catch a bigger trout, and it was kind of disappointing. I think the biggest one I ever caught was 13, 14 inches, and that's it. I mean, if you get up and start climbing up streams and the mountains and get into the further away, deeper holes, the ones that I normally can't get to, you know, then you start catching the bigger ones.
Get up above Helen and that part of the Chattahoochee, a lot of that stream is land's private on both sides, that Smith Call Woods Wilderness area up in near Helen. It was a private fishery for years. And I think it was owned, I can't remember who owned it now. It was owned by Charles Smith Call, and I think he had something to do with either one of the papers. It might have been Cox Communications, one of the big media companies, and it was all private for years. They had feeders up there. And they still got some feeders in some locations in South Carolina, too, some streams. They had feeders up there, and those fish, they were like steelhead. They were, rainbows were so big. The first year it opened, it was all catch and release and fly only, all catch and release single hook. And they give you a certain beat, you know, like they do in England. They give you a certain part of the river you fish, and that's the only place you fish. They drop you off, come back, pick you up, like for half a day, and do the same thing in the afternoon. And you had to get on like a list. You know, it was like a lottery system to get in there. But one of the guys here in Anderson I know very well was a real avid fish, trout fisherman. He and I fished together a lot over the years. Some of the ones he caught, Jimmy, I mean, there was some 30-inch fish coming out of that place. I mean, they, of course, they left them there, but they were so big they couldn't hardly jump out of the water. But, of course, they'd been feeding them. And he said, you'd have to stalk them like you did like a turkey or something. You couldn't just get in there and fish. And if they saw you, they'd be in front of you, but they won't eat, you know, for the rest of the day.
That kind of defeats the purpose of all of it then, doesn't it? Yeah, it's probably Cox Communication. They owned the AJC down there. I won't say what I normally used to call it. That just doesn't surprise me anymore. I would think you would want to think that should be illegal to sit there and just feed them like that, because it is a natural resource. Wow. Gotta love it. The things that you can get away with when you have money, though, right?
Donated it to the state of Georgia. It's owned by the Georgia DNR now. And they operate it that way, but I don't know if they feed them. I don't think there's enough bait in the system there to support them, and there's some other ones that do the same thing. But I've seen them on private streams up there, but this is a public stream. Now they may have taken the feeders down, but they were up there. They look like a deer feeder just hanging out over the stream, and you know it automatically does spits out some trout pellets. Same thing they feed them with at the hatchery. And there was another one. I think it was up around Overflow or Holcomb Creek on the other side of the Chattooga over there. They had, or it might have been, I'm thinking about another location, but there was one where they fed them like that, and on the Georgia side over there. And it was, you had to get a permit to get on it and fish. And poachers got in there quite a few years ago and killed all the fish, killed all the big fish, and then they just had gotten them back, and tornado or something came through, tore it up, and then river otters got in there and killed a bunch of them. So what used to be a really good fishery on that side of the Chattooga is just, you know, it's back to just nothing to what it was 25, 30 years ago.
There was a little creek up there that we used to fish in all the time called Boggs Creek. And I have to wonder, because it got hit by a tornado pretty bad as well. And I wonder if it's up. That was up around in Dahlonega, though. So I'm not sure. I know it used to be a beautiful place to go camp and trout fish and what have you, but not anymore.
Waters Creek was the name of that location, Jimmy. It just came to me at a non-senior moment. And I don't remember exactly where it was. It's been so many years ago since I've been up there. There's a lot of wild stream fisheries here in South Carolina, but they're just difficult to get to. And of course, you know, when the movie River Rose came out, you know, everybody, you know, all of a sudden trout fishing was popular sport again, and everybody started doing that, and then it got to the point where it was difficult to fish. But Jones Camp State Park has got, you know, it's viable fishing up there too. And it's, they may stock it occasionally, but they had a private club on part of that stream down below the state park. And South Carolina finally bought it from them, I think. And that's a, it's a catch and release only barbless hook, single hook, but you can fish with single hook lures. You just can't use barb. So you're not restricted flies. That's a lot. I mean, that place is, those little rainbows up there, you get one about 8 inches long, that daggum thing, when it gets hooked, it'll jump 2 feet out of the water.
Barbless hooks, which are actually not a bad idea, especially when you have size limits that you have to go by, the barbed hooks, you know, they just, they tear up a fish pretty badly, especially a trout. And if you can, if you hook into a baby one with a barbed hook, and it swallows your hook, that's it. It's done for.
Barbless, and also have, I don't know whether it's Owner or Daiwa that makes some mini barbs. I've used in the past. They're really tiny barbs. They have just enough to hold it in. But they, I tell you, when you deal with barbless with lures, though, it's really, you really got to keep the pressure on them. You can't let that pressure get off at all, because they'll, I think, just slip right out of the mouth. And the mini barb works a little bit better. But again, what I do on me and my Japanese lures is I take the front one off and just put the back one on and with the hook riding up, and I put a, I usually put a barb or some mini barb on that just to make it easy to get it out. If it's not a barbless restriction, I'll fish it with a mini barb anyway to keep from tearing the mouth up on one or up in the head. But brook trout, they're gonna swallow a lure thing because they're their mouth's a lot bigger for the size than a rainbow or brown is. So they'll, you know, those little rascals, they'll eat a frog if they can get it. If they can get it in the mouth, it's gone. But they'll generally eat. Yeah, I had a guy tell me one time that there's actually a fly fishing store up here in the upstate. He said he'd never seen a native brook trout eat anything other than a dry fly. And I said, a lure. And I said, well, I guarantee you, I've got a bunch of them on, you know, on lures. I said, you just got to know what you're using and where to fish them. Because they eat minnows. They're not necessarily, they're like brown trout. They don't necessarily feed on drives all the time. But I've caught them on lures before, too. And I went up to Jones Gap one time, and I said, I'm going to show you. And I took one of those Japanese, small Japanese lures and threw it out there. And I said, has this section got anything other than native brookies in it? He said, nope. I said, first cast, brought one in about 7 inches long. He said, well, I've never seen it before. I said, well, you just didn't know. I said, these are fly fishing guys. They just had a bad, yeah, they'd have good thoughts about lure fishermen.
Wow. I've never really done any fly fishing for trout. I have mainly done just go out there single hook with salmon eggs and send it out there with, I usually use a 10-pound braid, which has got a very small diameter to it, and it usually works out pretty well. Oh, for some reason my radio wasn't the computer wasn't decoding correctly, and I couldn't understand what in the world was going on, and it looks like that I've got a hub here, a USB hub. It just, I think it finally decided to kick the bucket on me.
It's always some part of the puzzle. See, the hub or some connection somewhere starts going south, it doesn't act right, it needs to be rebooted. I've done a lot of fly fishing over the years, and I've always enjoyed it, but I've stopped probably about 10 years or so ago. I'm just not that, I can't get out of that weight anymore. I don't feel quite as stable as I used to be. I certainly couldn't do it now, but a lot of the places I fished over the years, though, you really didn't need to weigh. Most of them were small enough where you could, you know, step across the stream if you wanted to, or, you know, just wading across the other side. The water is just too small to get in water and scare all the fish. And because I fished the Chautauqua is probably the biggest thing I've fished on over the years. And now it's just, you know, there's so many people up there. When you go, it's ridiculous. And the last time I was up there, I saw the river otters in there again too. So that's not good. They'll, any big fish, the otters, are, you know, when the water's low, they'll get in there and three or four and get together and corral the fish, corral the trout and kill it.
Or not being able to feel my foot and my leg on the left side there, I kind of shy away from walking up and down into the creeks. Now, I have been known to go to Cherokee and go tubing down the rivers, the slower ones, and that's a lot of fun, but, you know, most of the time I'm just kind of kick back and relax. The only time I have to get up is if I get thrown out. And I didn't get thrown out last year, thankfully. Year before last, I was not so lucky. I think I got thrown out four or five times. So it was an experience for sure. So are you feeling better, Jerry?
I still got to go back to the doctor next matter of fact, wait from tomorrow and do some more looking around to see what's going on. But I feel a lot better than I did, and I'm able to get up and get around fine. But still have some issues that they're gonna have to get in and see what's wrong with me. But hopefully, it'll be something that's correctable. But as far as, like I said, I feel fine. Otherwise, it's just a little aggravating. But, yeah, well, there's one lake here in the, it was actually up at Oconee State Park, and they stock that lake for trout several times a year. And, yeah, they used to have boats and canoes up there. You get out in there and fish in it. I've never fished it, but I've heard of people going up there in early part of the year, and after it stocked, they did pretty well with it. But there again, it's a pretty good sized lake. I don't think it's, you know, it's fishable from the shoreline, but I don't have any idea how deep it is. You know, never, don't have any experience with it, but it does, they do stock that. But I don't recall how easy it is to get around to either, because it's been years since I've been up there. But there's a lot of places that are pretty easily accessible by foot without having to get out into the water. Those are the places when I'm able to get up and get around, when I can get away from the house long enough to do something like that, I'll certainly want to try it again sometime.
Hopefully, next couple months, I've got to renew my registration on my boat and get it transferred up here. I'm really not looking forward to that. I got a couple of things. I got to charge some batteries and replace one of them and move them around. But hopefully by spring, I'll be ready to go and do some long line trolling. And you know, you're welcome to join me anytime you want. We'll go out there and we'll throw some lines out and just kind of troll around and see what we can catch.
This result, I might have to do that. It may be maybe something fairly simple, it may be something a little more serious. I got some more surgery that might have to be done, but other than that, though, hopefully I'll get everything fixed up for me in a few months. Maybe I'll be back to, well, I'm not normal, but I'll get back to where I was anyway, I guess, Jimmy. excuse me, I didn't mean to call. I better get going. My throat's getting a little dry here, and I'm glad you gave me a call back. I hadn't heard you on in a little while, and good to hear from you. I'm glad everything's going well, and keep on painting. Well, I'll talk to you a little bit later, Jimmy, N4DJC, clear after you.
It's been a while, and it was very good talking to you. And just take care of yourself, and let's get through the winter and get ready to go do some fishing. N4DJC. If you ever need anything, Jerry, you've got my number. Just give me a call. Not too far from you. 73, sir. KG4LSL.
Mobile.
4X-ray Bravo. K4XB. The 4X-ray Bravo, K4XB. Pound on the 610 to let me know if I'm getting in okay. K4XB.
K4 W1JE, you're coming through. All clear.
Appreciate it. Been working on the antenna and wanted to make sure everything was okay. Appreciate you coming back to me. Hope you have a wonderful day. 73K4XB.
Sorry about that. I thought it was XP, as in Papa, not Bravo. Anyway, Whiskey 1, Juliet Echo.
E, this is K4XB. Yeah, there's a K4XP up in Spartanburg County, I believe. So, Saturday, and I was wanting to try to meet him, but didn't get a chance to meet him. That's a similar one. No problem at all. And again, thanks for coming back to me, K4XB.
QHXS on.